divided, my love. Not in our hearts.
I know, and yet that won't be enough. When I am married, I shall want my new house to be a home to you. A place where you can be happy and where I can see you often and talk with you and caress you.
Yes, but Lily, you will have someone else to talk to, someone else to caress. And your house will be his house and will be full enough without me. And I wouldn't have it otherwise. My dear, you and Belle are everything to me. Everything. And when you are married, Lily, and when Belle is married, it'll be a painful parting, but a parting it must be. You must leave me, and I hope and pray that the man to whom you will devote yourself will be allowed a long life.
Mama.
A long life so that, for all of your life, he may love you and protect you.
Well, Alexandrina, I'm due to leave in 5 minutes. So if you'll excuse me.
By all means. I trust you'll have a good journey.
Thank you. You won't come outside?
No, indeed. I'm sure it's far too cold.
I shall see you next to Christmas.
I look forward to that. Oh, Mama wanted to know if you'd written yet to Miss Dale.
No. But I shall be doing so as soon as I reach London.
If the poor girl still has notions about you, it would be better to undeceive her quickly.
Oh, I agree, I agree. So then, goodbye, my dearest.
Mr. Crosby for Barchester Station.
That's right.
These are your bags, sir?
Yes, just the form.
Back at Christmas, then.
Mr. Crosby!
Oh!
A word with you, please.
Lady Julia, I have a train to catch.
Is it true that you have become engaged to Lady Alexandrina?
That is a private matter, and I really don't know why you should be inquiring into it.
I'm sorry, sir, but you do know. That poor young Miss Dale, who has no father, no brother, she is a neighbour of mine, a friend, and I have a right to speak for her.
Lady Julia, I fear I must decline to discuss the topic.
She was too good for you, Mr. Crosby. That's what she was. She was too good for you. And you are a poor, weak, silly fool.
Ready, driver.
Very well, sir. Walk on.
A fool and a villain. And I'll tell everyone so, Mr. Crosby. I'll tell them what you've done.
I am a villain. Some villains, of course, in literature at least, are objects of admiration. Heroes almost by virtue of their villainy. But my villainy is not of that order. I am a villain from weakness. I can never write that letter to Lily. Impossible. I'd sooner die. I loved Lily Dale. Loved her. What is there to love in Lady Alexandrina? Aside from the advantages that might accrue from marrying her. And even these, now that I am drawn in closer to the De Courcy fold, seem at once less promising and less tangible. Oh, if only I had never gone to Courcy Castle!
Well, Johnny, let's face it. The weeks away have not been everything you hoped for. But everything you hoped for, in truth, was Lily. And you never had the right to have much hope there. There is no hope now. It was not all miserable. I made a friend of Lord De Guest, and he was very kind to me. But that's pretty small consolation.
Cab, Governor.
Yes, please. And what have I got to go back to?
Merton Crescent, a bit beyond Russell Square.
Yeah, I know it.
Cradell. Mrs. Roper, the Lupexes, Amelia. She'll be terribly angry that we're not getting married, despite the letter I wrote. Perhaps I won't go to Burton Crescent tonight. I'll stay at a hotel.
Driver?
Which hotel?
Driver.
Oh, well.
What's all the secrecy, old chap? And I'm engaged to be married, or aren't you?
I am, yes. But not to Miss Lily Dale. I'm afraid I've got into terrible trouble, Pratt.
Well, who are you engaged to?
Lady Alexandrina de Courcy.
Oh.
I was already sort of half engaged to her before.
I see. And now you are altogether engaged to her.
Yes. Who told you about Miss Dale?
Her cousin. He was in here last week.
You haven't seen him this evening, have you?
No. You've behaved very badly, you know.
Yes, I fear I have.
Making an offer to a girl in September, and then the next month going to another house, and making an offer to a girl of higher rank.
Rank has nothing to do with it, Pratt.
Forgive me, but it rather looks as if it does. How are you going to tell Miss Dale?
I don't know.
You're determined to stick to the Earl's daughter.
Sorry?
You're not going to jilt her, too.
Heavens, no, that's out of the question. No. I shall marry Alexandrina. Unless I do away with myself first.
And what about the uncle? What are you going to say to him?
Squire Dale? Oh, I don't give a damn for him. I'll tell him the whole wretched story if he's interested to hear it.
Mr. Crosby, sir, there's a visitor for you.
Is there now?
His card, sir.
Oh, no.
Who is it?
Did you tell the gentleman I was here?
I said I thought you were upstairs, sir.
Who is it?
Dale, the girl's uncle.
Shall I ask him to come up?
No. Mr. Crosby will see him in the waiting room.
Very well, sir.
So, Crosby, what do you intend to do?
I don't know. I don't know.
I wouldn't advise you, by the way, to deny the fact of your second engagement, simply to get out of a tight spot with Mr. Dale.
I wouldn't dream of doing such a thing.
If you don't intend to marry his niece, you must tell him.
Yes.
Only I'm not sure I'd want to tell him at the present moment, if I were you.
What can I do?
Oh, you could get out of the club, shirk a confrontation. Unfortunately, you'd have to go on shirking confrontations for the rest of your life.
Pratt, I must say I expected more from you. Is this friendship?
I don't know how I can help you. You're in an impossible scrape.
What if you saw Dale?
No, Crosby. Not if I'm expected to take your part.
You can take any part you like. Just see him. Tell him I was already half engaged to the other girl, and that when I came to reflect on it all, I decided I wasn't fit to marry Miss Dale.
Crosby.
Look, I've done wrong. I admit it. But thousands have done so before.
Perhaps. But I've never counted any of them among my friends.
Oh, you're turning your back on me.
I didn't say that. But I can't defend you. Your conduct hardly permits that. I will see this gentleman if you wish it.
I do. Tell him, remind him how I was deceived about his niece, how I thought he was to give her some fortune. Tell him that when I learned the truth, I began to change my mind.
Crosby.
It's the truth. I talked it all over with him. He knows how disappointed I was. Now, you better go down first. Once you begin your conversation with him, I'll slip out. But make sure that the door to the room is closed.
Of course.
I'm very grateful to you.
And so you should be. This goes beyond friendship.
Power. Control. It's slipping away. Respect, likewise. All self-respect. Well, that's long gone. There can surely be no shame, no humiliation greater than this. I'd offer myself to be kicked, whipped, if only I was man enough.
I can scarcely believe it. 2 weeks, no more, since he left my home.
2 weeks, no more.
And now I've had this letter from an old family friend.
2 weeks that have laid my life in ruins.
Damn it, will the man not see me? Is he such a coward?
Oh, yes, Squire Dale, he is.
I won't tolerate it. I'll tell the De Courcys, tell all the world what kind of man he is.
Tell them, Squire Dale. Tell them Adolphus Crosby is a coward.
Good night, Sam.
Good night. A coward and a scoundrel and the most miserable, degraded wretch alive.
back to work. Well, back at my desk. I rather doubt whether the Crown will get an adequate return for my wages today, for it is hard enough after a long leave to focus the mind and summon the spirit, but for me, this morning, it is 10 times harder. Oh, I am indeed the most miserable wretch.
Morning, Cosby. Good to see you again.
Butterwell, thank you.
He has a letter for you.
Ah, most kind. The Board of Commissioners have great pleasure in informing you that... Yes. Good news, Butterwell.
Exceedingly good news, is it not? And may I be the first to congratulate you with all my heart. You have got this advancement early in life, Crosby, but you deserve it thoroughly. Much more so than I did when I was appointed.
Oh, I think
not. Oh, yes, yes. We are deuce lucky to have such a man as you. And I told the Commissioner so when they were considering my replacement.
I'm very much obliged to you, I'm sure.
I've actually known for some time that you were their choice, before you went on leave. Things moved fairly swiftly after Sir Raffles' departure was fixed.
Did they? I wish I had been informed, Butterworth.
Nonsense! One shouldn't spoil a surprise. And anyway, as many a slip.
Yes, true enough.
Good heavens! But I had quite forgotten... You have a second cause for celebration.
That's right. I do.
Success all round. Hey, Crosby?
Yes. Yes. Two weeks. If only I'd known 2 weeks ago. If Butterwell had dropped a hint that the omens were good. £800 a year wasn't on, but 12 or 13, that's a different picture. Lily and I... Oh, Lily, sweetest girl. If I'd even known of my preferment just a few days ago, I could have seen Squire Dale at the club, told him that I was still engaged to Lily, but what he'd heard was a malicious rumour. No. No, it was too late then. Jilting Lily is one thing. Jilting the Lady Alexandrina, quite another. So I am to be promoted. To try to help achieve that promotion, I abandoned a perfect treasure of a girl in favour of a woman I do not think I can love, whom I do not admire, who, if the truth be told, is past her prime, has no grace, no charm, no winning attributes, or none that I can find. Oh, yes. Success all round.
Back at Burton Crescent. I'd give anything to be anywhere but here. How can I face Amelia? What am I to say to her? Number 33. Also here is Miss Amelia's mother, Mrs. Roper. So happy she'd be if her boarding house could become a respectable place. But she won't be happy while my old friend Credale is a lodger, making a fool of himself with Mrs. Lupex. And while Mr. Lupex makes a fool of himself with drink and jealous fits. As for Johnny Eames, he's a fool for coming back at all.
Well, Lily, what has the postman brought today?
Nothing. Not for me, that is. But Mama... Oh, Belle, I think something has happened.
What do you mean?
Mama has a letter, and she's taken it up to her room.
Well, is anybody ill? Do you know? Who is the letter from?
I think it is from Adolphus.
Oh, Lily. What are you saying?
I don't know. Please, Belle, don't look at me like that.
I'm sorry, but you frighten me.
I frighten myself. The letter I got from him yesterday, you remember, you asked if there was any news, and I said there was nothing for your ears. Well, there was nothing there of anything. A mere 2 lines. No dearest Lily... No signature.
Oh, sister. You do not know Mama's letter is from him.
No, I haven't spoken to her. I'll go up to her now. But you mustn't come, Belle. Don't look so unhappy. Please.
I know that I will be punished. The worst punishment will be this. That I can never hold my head up again. Mrs. Dale, it is my belief that I would not have made your daughter happy.
and that is the only excuse I can offer. She has been brought up as an angel with a deep trust in all that is good and pure. But throughout my life, I have been surrounded by things that are low and mean and ignoble.
I must inform you also that I am engaged to marry another woman. Oh, how bitter your feelings will be when you read this. But they will not be so bitter as mine.
Mama?
Oh, Lily.
May I come in? Mama?
Oh, my child.
I know it is from him, Mama. Tell me everything, please, at once.
Lily.
Tell me, Mama. Is he ill? If he is, I will go to him.
No. No, he is not ill.
Then let me read the letter.
No, not yet. It is very bad news.
Bad for him, or only bad for me. If he is not in danger, I can read the letter. Mama, whatever it is, I must be allowed to know it. And anyway, I begin to guess the truth. Before he left here, you see, I offered to release him. And I suppose he has thought it over while away from me, and has decided that it would be better if my offer were accepted. Is that so, Mama? He might have written me the letter.
Oh, there is a note for you which was enclosed.
I would like to see it, please. Let me have his last words to me. Have you read this?
No.
Then you shall hear it now. You have trusted one who was quite untrustworthy. I know that you will hate me, and I cannot even ask you to forgive me. But you will at least allow me to pray that you may be happy. A.C. I will not hate him, and I do forgive him.
Oh, Lily, you frighten me. You seem so very calm.
Well, I am calm. But you mustn't be frightened. I know the truth. I am not deluding myself. I have been very unfortunate. The brightest hope of my life is gone. I loved that man beyond all the world. And I shall never see him again. I'm sorry.
Oh, dear child.
I would like to see the letter he wrote to you.
Not now, Lily. I've told you enough for the present.
I would like to see it, Mama.
Very well.
Thank you.
Oh, Lily.
Engaged. He's engaged.
Yes.
He has been very quick.
Yes.
You must tell him that I forgive him, Mama, that I do not hate him. You will tell him that when you write to him, won't you?
Oh, my dearest, I don't know if I can.
You must. He has made me very unhappy, but I have loved him, just as you loved Father. I love him still.
Well, I will try to forgive him.
But even if you fail in that, Mama, you must write what I asked you to write. Promise me you will.
Oh, I can make no promise, Lily. But I will attempt to do my duty.
Oh, Mama. We must be very good to each other now. We shall always be together. And I must be your friend and counsellor. And indeed be everything to you. I must fall in love with you now.
Lily? Lily?
Yes, sister. He has gone. Oh, my dearest Apollo. Gone forever.
I received your note.
Close the door. Whatever you have to say is not, I suppose, for the entire household to hear. What have you got to say?
I'm not sure.
Oh, you must have something to say to me. You have been away from me long enough. Oh, John.
John, is it to be thus after love such as ours?
I don't know what you mean.
If you are engaged to marry L.D., then be a man!
I'm not engaged to marry her, and I've no wish to have her spoken about.
No more have I. What's she to me if she means nothing to you? Oh, but, Johnny, why did you write me that letter? That cruel, heartless letter? Why, Johnny?
Because I thought it best, Amelia. I mean, what's a man to do with a mere £90 a year?
Oh, plus the 20 your mother allows you.
Well, what's a man to do with a mere 110?
Rising £5 every year. Oh, of course. If your heart was right, Johnny, you wouldn't be so concerned about money. If you love me, as once you said you did.
Oh, Amelia.
Johnny! Johnny! I wouldn't mind about anything, believe me. If I knew that you love me, oh, tell me you do.
Oh, Amelia. Amelia.
Mr. Dale, what is to be Crosby's punishment?
Punishment? I know of none, except the scorn that would be felt for him. I tell you what, Mary, I don't understand it. I could scarcely believe it. No gentleman would have done such a thing when I was young. Wouldn't have dared.
May I?
Yes, Bernard, come in.
I called round, Mrs. Dale.
I know.
Has Lily been told everything?
Yes, Bernard.
Mrs. Dale, I'm most terribly sorry. Not merely that it's happened, but that I was in some way, well, that I brought him here. And, you know, we always thought very highly of him at the club.
Hmm. So much for your club.
I wish there was something I could do. I feel very strongly, Mrs. Dale, that Crosby should not be allowed to go unscathed.
I feel the same.
I'll not have you inviting him to a duel, Bernard.
Good heavens, no. No, I wouldn't wish that.
It would, anyway, be for nothing. Men are not expected to duel these days, and a coward of Crosby's order is unlikely to accept an invitation. All we can do with him is treat him as we would a rat. Throw a stick at him if he comes near. Keep him out of the house. If only we had kept him out of the house last summer.
Oh, yes. If only.
Give Lily my best love.
And mine.
I feel I owe her much, because the scoundrel stayed with us. If her old uncle could do anything for her, she's only to let me know.
That's very kind.
And Mary,
think of what I said to you before, about Bernard and Belle.
I love him. I will always love him. And in my heart, I feel that he still loves me, whatever he has said, whatever he has done. Adolphus, I can forgive you. It is easy to do that. But I can never forget. It will all stay with me. The stages by which friendship grew into something more, something I was almost frightened to admit to myself. Dinner at the great house, croquet, walks, words of jest, glances, smiles, and at last, love, happiness. Your kisses, dearest Adolphus, your caresses. Standing here in the garden the night of the party, do you remember when I talked of poetry and love and the moon? But Adolphus, you must like the soft twilight, too, and the long evenings when we shall be alone. And you must tell me that the world isn't hard and dry and cruel.
It won't be dry and cruel if I can prevent it.
Adolphus, I forgive you. I forgive you. I forgive you.
There he is. Now, don't you think he's like Lambkin?
Lambkin?
The bull we had trouble with. Lambkin was the sire. Just like him, this fellow is. Particularly around the forequarters, don't you think so?
Yes, possibly.
It's very odd, Johnny, but that bull, the one you met, he's been as quiet as anything since that day. Must have been my red handkerchief that provoked him.
Yes, or perhaps the flies.
Well, we must go soon. I ordered dinner at 7. Oh, my brother-in-law will be joining us. Colonel Dale. You know the Dales down at Annington, don't you?
Oh, yes. Very well.
Bad business, by the by, with the girl. You've heard, I suppose.
Yes. Extremely bad business.
Anyway, the Colonel is Bernard Dale's father. He's in town to sign some papers. Hates travelling. Lives in Torquay. Queer fellow.
Is the Earl asleep?
I'm not asleep. And every word you said. Very uninteresting it was, too. Enough, certainly, to give one a good reason for sleeping. Now, come, now. This won't do. Dale, what do you think of that fella Crosby? He should have every bone in his body broken, don't you agree?
Well, I certainly do, my lord. He's the most abominable rascal I ever met. I only wish I was Lily Dale's brother, and then I'd do what was expected of me.
Oh, you would you?
I beg your pardon, sir. But you see, I have known Mrs. Dale and your nieces all my life.
Well, dare say you have. Which is as well not to make too free with a young lady's name. Not that I blame you in the least, Mr. Eames.
I should think not. I honour him for what he said.
Yes, well, I'm afraid I must leave you both. It's been a tiring day. Nice to have met you, Eames.
You got him on a raw nerve there, Johnny.
Sorry, I didn't mean to.
Oh, there are bound to be a good few who believe his son should punish Crosby for what he's done. I suppose if we say we're Christians, we ought to act like it too, but were I Bernard Dale, I might be quite inclined to forget my Bible lessons.
I'd do it. I'd gladly pitch into Crosby. Do it tomorrow if I had the chance.
You, Johnny? Oh, no, 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 no. You're not the right person at all. What have you got to do with it?
Oh, not a lot, really, except...
You're simply a family friend. Except what?
Except... Well...
Johnny... You're not in love with Miss Dale, are you?
In love? Well, I don't know about that, my lord. But I go through fire and water for her, that's for certain.
You are in love with her.
Well, I've loved her better than Crosby will love anyone. When I heard she was going to marry him, I'd half a mind to cut my throat. Or his. That's ridiculous, I know. She'd never have accepted me.
Not if you'd cut your throat, I dare say. Listen, I have an idea. Why don't you come down and spend your Christmas with me?
With you? Oh, my lord,
I... Oh, no, my lording, if you please. Now, just do as I tell you. Come to the manor for Christmas, and then you could go over to Allington, see Miss Dale, and tell her plainly.
No, I couldn't say a word to her, not at present.
Well, we'll talk to the squire, then. Start smoothing the path.
Oh, no, my lord.
But I say, oh, yes. And listen, you're not to think you're not good enough for her. A man should never think he's not good enough. If he thinks that, you know, other people will start believing it.
I don't see why he shouldn't be at Guestwick Manor.
No, dear.
I'd rather it were Johnny Eames than me. Lady Julia's so grumpy.
Oh, it is strange, though. Of course, I know all about the incident with the ball, but that was a while ago now. And why should the Earl invite your Uncle Christopher over, specially?
I don't know, Mama. I don't know. I'm sorry. It's just that they will be talking about me, in a kindly way, I'm sure, but I find that upsetting. Oh, Mama, what is so hard is that everything manages to connect with what happened. There's no respite.
Well, time will heal.
Perhaps. But if it doesn't, Mama, I promise you that I will bear it. Bear it without lasting unhappiness, I mean. Though I shall always love Adolphus. You understand that?
Yes, Lily.
I know you think I shouldn't, but I can't help it. Nor can I help feeling now that I've lost him, almost, I suppose, as you must have felt when you lost Father. You must promise never to be tired of me, Mama.
Mothers do not often get tired of their children.
Well, they might, when their children become old maids. I intend to have a will of my own, Mama.
Oh, you have that already.
A will and a way, if possible. When Belle is married and has left us, I shall consider you and me to be in partnership. I can't be dutiful all my life.
Forewarned is forearmed.
You're humouring me, I know. You think I will change my mind, get over it. But at present, Mama... I don't think I can. I can't love again because there is a man I love already. I only wish, though, that I could show that love. And another thing, Mama. You must tell me as soon as you hear that his wedding day is fixed.
Oh, Lily.
I don't want to spend it like an ordinary day.
In my view, the girl has been very fortunate in her escape. But I have to say, Mr. Eames, I feel my brother is optimistic about an early match between you and her.
I feel so too, Lady Julia. In fact, I have tried to tell the Earl as much.
Oh, he's a stubborn soul, I know. I don't mean that you won't succeed in the long run, if you're patient, but I fear you may spoil your chances if you ask her too soon.
Yes, but the Earl tells me that if I'm not soon enough, I'll be too late.
That's nonsense. She's not that sort at all. Such an awkward business. I wonder what Mr. Dale will think of this matchmaking.
John Eames, in love with Lily?
Yes, and I heartily wish he'd won her regard before you had that rascal Crosby down to your house.
A man cannot help these things, De Geest.
Of course not.
And one's not to suppose that she'd have thought as well of Eames as you seem to do. Anyway, it's too late now.
No, 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 that's just it. It's not too late. Mustn't be. Dale, I want to interest you to work in this fellow's favour. And in doing so, I mean to be very open with you. Money.
Hmm?
I suppose the girl will be getting something from you when she marries, whether it's Johnny Eames who weds her or someone else.
I don't know, I'm sure.
Well, Johnny will be getting something from me. If a match is made between your niece and Johnny, I don't think she'll find it a bad one from the pecuniary point of view. I trust she'd be happy for other reasons, too.
Naturally, I'm very grateful to the Earl, though I never really got the chance to tell him, because he would always interrupt. But I suppose if I were honest, I'd rather not have him helping or trying to help. Rather not have Squire Dale involved either, the cross old stick. Not that he's promised to do anything, except think about it, though the Earl says that that's a good sign.
Barchester Junction! This is Barchester Junction! Train on platform 2 to Paddington Street!
Despite all that, I suppose that if it meant that there was some chance, even the remotest chance, of winning Lily's heart, I wouldn't mind who was willing to help me, or how it might come about.
This one will do, Potter.
Yes, sir. At your own speed, sir. Don't hurry yourself.
I know that voice.
No, I shall not hurry myself. Not going to break my legs or anyone's account.
You take your time, sir.
Yes, I mean to. Excuse me.
Certainly. Crosby. Don't think he's seen me. Well, Crosby?
Thank you, Porter.
He's coming in. I'm sweating. Turned crimson. Where's he going to sit? Oh, yes.
Excuse me.
Right opposite. Now he'll look up. There. Fix him straight in the eye, Johnny. Good man. And in return, he just gives a little nod of the head. That's all.
John Eames. Well, well. Coming back after a quiet Christmas with his mother, no doubt. I could have done with a quiet Christmas. I was advised it would be quiet. We shall be all alone, says Lady De Courcy. Just the family, a chance for you to learn more of our little ways. It was certainly that. So much fluttering around from Alexandrina and giving petty orders. Initiating me into the little De Courcy domesticities, treating me like some kind of tamed creature. Mortimer Gazebee, a man whom I formerly treated as a gross inferior, tying me up in clauses to the settlement, legally binding me hand and foot. His dear wife, the Lady Emily, chattering about arrangements for the wedding and the new home, citing her own experiences as examples and precedents, advising me that I'd better get my kitchen things at Tomkins. Then the Countess herself, informing me of Alexandrina's special needs, drumming into me how honoured I am, reminding me, however, that there are duties and obligations attached to being in a noble family, providing me, too, with a list of commissions to be performed when I return to London. And finally, Lord De Courcy, who, by availing himself of a father-in-law's privilege, managed to be even ruder to me than on my last visit. Thank heavens, I had told him I could only spare 3 days for Christmas. Any longer, and I might have committed an act of violence.
Perhaps we should talk. I should say something at least. Tell the fellow what I think of him. Well, Johnny, I'd like to thump him, not talk to him. He's not far from you, Johnny. You could give him a good kick on the shin without moving off your seat. I would too. And worse, if the old man wasn't sitting here. Not fair on him to start a scrap.
Crosby!
He didn't hear me. Pretended he didn't. Can't let him go.
Crosby!
Told the Earl I'd thrash the man if I had the chance. And this is my chance.
Crosby!
Yes? What is it?
You're a scoundrel. You deserve a thrashing.
My dear fellow.
Scoundrel! Blackguard!
Get off me! Help!
You're a villain! Do you hear? Help!
Police! Get the police!
Police! Yes,
I'll go! This is appalling! Stop them!
Villain! Blackguard!
What's all this about?
Separate them!
Started it!
Now, mommy, folks, let go!
No, no, you must be bloody!
Here they come!
Oh, you fed young man!
Scoundrel!
Stand back, everyone!
This man started in an entirely unprovoked attack!
Tell us later, madam, now stand
no!
Back!
No!
No, sir!
No! Yes. You're finished with him, yes!
Hear off me!
This man, I tell you! No. No, you've no idea what he's done!
No, we don't, but we saw what you were doing, you ruffian! You're under arrest! We're taking you to the station superintendent's office!
No! No!
Are you all right, sir?
Hardly.
I think it'd be helpful if you came along to the office, sir.
Must I?
Well, the superintendent will need a statement from you, sir, before he takes things further.
Do take a seat, Mr. Crosby.
Thank you. Look,
may I take a seat?
You may not. Don't make your case worse, young man, by offensiveness. The guard who was on your train, Mr. Crosby, informs me that you have come from Courcy Castle.
That is right.
And that you're familiar with the De Courcy family. Splendid. Mr. Crosby, may I, on behalf of the station authorities, express my very deep regret that you should have been exposed to an act of brutality on Platform 1.
You don't know anything about it.
Quiet.
You don't know what he's done.
Quiet.
Are you acquainted with this man, Mr. Crosby?
Yes. His name is Eames.
Eames? A most disgraceful affair, Mr. Eames. Most disgraceful.
Well, that's your opinion.
Yes, young man, it is. And I shall not hesitate, by the way, to represent the matter to your superiors.
You know nothing about it, and I don't suppose you ever will. That fellow is a scoundrel. Looks as if he's got a good shiner coming, I'm pleased to see, but he deserves much worse than I've managed to give him.
Mr. Crosby, your attacker is obviously unrepentant. He's a reprobate and a menace to society. In my view, we really ought to take him before the magistrates.
No, that's not necessary. I will deal with everything in due course, if you will permit me. For the present, I have had my fill of Mr. Eames's insolence, and am anxious to get to my home.
Oh, you haven't done with Mr. Eames's insolence yet, I can tell you.
Mr. Eames?
All London will hear of what's happened, and all London will know the reason for it. If you have any shame in you, Crosby, which I doubt, you won't dare to show your face.
Morning, Mr. Crosby.
Morning.
Very sorry about that.
Yes, yes.
Morning, Mr. Crosby, sir.
My dear Crosby.
Butterwell.
Upon my word, that is a serious injury.
Worse than it looks, I assure you. Care to come to my room for a moment? It's disagreeable, of course it is, the whole business.
I think I'd have stayed away a few more days.
Yes, but gossip can start spreading, you know, if a man isn't seen for a while.
Yes. So, what happened? According to the paper...
The paper lies, as papers always do.
But you avenged yourself, did you?
No, Butterwell, I didn't.
Oh. The paper says you pretty well killed the fellow who did it.
No. The police came, and so on. One isn't allowed to fight it out in a public place.
Of course not. Who was he, anyway? And what's this about him having aspirations with regard to a certain lady of a noble family?
That's all trash.
Ah. Then it was about the other girl, was it? The one at Allington.
You've heard about her?
Yes, Crosby. I've heard. So, the fellow wants to step into your shoes. I see. Not a bad way to start. What do you intend to do about the attack?
Nothing.
Nothing? That'll look mighty odd, won't it?
Perhaps, but it wouldn't be fair on the girl, you know, if I took the thing to the magistrates. I have to spare her name.
The truth is, I've behaved rather badly with regard to her.
Yes, extremely badly from what I can gather.
Well, and what's to come next?
I've no idea, Credell.
I imagine he'll put it in the hands of a friend. As I did with Fisher, you remember, when Lupex was threatening me.
Oh, yes. I wouldn't mind that.
And I suppose you'll come to me. A deuced bore to a man in a public office such as myself. But I wouldn't desert you, Johnny, my boy. Not the sort.
I hope you found the noble Earl well.
I found the noble Earl pretty well.
Oh, it is such a privilege to be on visiting terms with the nobility. When I was a girl...
Yeah, well, you ain't a girl any longer.
My dear Lupex, you needn't be a brute to me before the whole of Mrs. Roper's company. If I was led away by certain feelings, which I need not now describe, and as a result left my proper circles, as one might say, and married you, there's no need for you to show the whole world how much I have to regret.
Oh, that's pleasant for a man over his meal, isn't it?
Mr. Eames.
What do you think, Miss Spruce?
Yes, Amelia?
Me? Oh, as for myself, I'm only an old woman.
Oh, that's true enough.
Mr. Eames, news of a sudden incident has reached my ears.
But then I say, whom God has joined together, let no man put asunder.
Ah, yes, thank you, Miss Spruce.
An incident at Paddington Station?
Yes, Amelia, I'd rather not talk about it at the present moment.
You go along with it, would you, Mr. Credell? Then what, God and so on?
Oh, indeed, certainly.
Ah. Well, then, perhaps we could speak after the meal? So, will you fight a duel?
No, that's absolute nonsense.
I'm sorry, but I had a right to ask, you know. I have been very distressed, Johnny. Though, of course, you wouldn't care about that, seeing as you're so hard-hearted.
I'm not hard-hearted, and I'm not fighting a duel.
You did attack the man, though?
Well, yes, I did.
Don't misunderstand me, John. What you did was right. I honour you for it. In my view, there can be nothing so dreadful as a young man deceiving a young woman, winning her heart and then leaving her, particularly when she has had his promise in plain words, or even in black and white. I mean, what is a poor girl to do? Of course, she might try and right herself by claiming a breach of promise.
Yes, but a girl who'd right herself that way wouldn't be worth having.
Oh, I'm not so sure about that. When a girl is in such a position, she has to get help from somewhere. You don't think, then, that Miss Lily Dale will be bringing a breach of promise?
I have no idea what the intention is of that lady, but from what I know of her and her friends, I should think such an action was unlikely.
Oh, really? Well, that may be fine for Miss Dale, but for others... Anyway, Johnny, you see that I know all about it, about Miss Dale. She was your L.D., of course. Not that I was ever jealous of her. To you, she was no more than a childhood friend, was she, Johnny?
For heaven's sake!
Johnny!
I hate all this twaddle about childhood friends and not being jealous. I tell you, the whole thing makes me sick, Amelia. Oh,
does it? This is what you learn, I suppose, by staying at a lord's house. Perhaps you'd have been better off not coming back here, Johnny.
Certainly I would. Much better off. I'm going for a walk.
Johnny!
You know, I cannot imagine poor Johnny keeping holiday with Lord De Guest and Lady Julia. He's a very good young man, but he is rather awkward.
No, I didn't find him awkward at all. And he seemed to me to be very much at home in the manor.
Did he? I hope he'll benefit from it, anyway.
Oh, he'll get on very well. A great deal better than his father did. But it was not of John Eames that I wished to speak. Mary... It is time that things were settled between Bernard and Bell.
There is nothing to settle. As far as I know, the position has not changed since last we discussed the
matter.
Mary,
you desire the match.
I would have desired it if Bell had.
But the wishes of all her family should have great weight with her.
Not in this regard, Mr. Dale.
Then you will not speak to Bell.
We have already spoken.
And did you tell her how happy it would make you if she and my nephew married?
I did not.
You are afraid to tell her.
I'm afraid to do what I believe is wrong.
I see.
Bell and Lily love and respect you as their uncle, but that will not give you the right to dispose of their hands.
I have no wish to do such a thing. I simply wish to speak to Bell. It will do a little good, I suppose, since you have set her against me.
No, you have no right to say that. You are very unjust, and I cannot suffer such a thing to be said to me. If you really think that I have set either of the girls against you... Well, then it would be much better if we left Allington altogether. Indeed, it would be quite wrong of me to keep us here. You have done much for my daughters, Mr. Dale, in the material, worldly sense.
I wish to do more.
I'm sure you do. but I cannot on that account give up my place as their parent. They are my children, not yours, however much you might do for them.
I think you are very hard on me. I knew the truth, of course. But I own I am hurt to hear you express it.
Oh, you mean you are hurt because I said my daughters must always be my own.
Mary, I have done all that I can for you and your children. You need not, in return, have begrudged me the affection and obedience which generally follows from such good offices. You and the girls have been living close to me for heaven knows how many years, but during all that time no kindly feelings have been fostered towards me, no affection. You yourself, Mary, wouldn't even enter this house if you didn't feel constrained to do so. Well, I suppose this is all as it should be. Having no children, I want to perform the duty of a parent to my nieces. Love them, care for them. But I have no right to expect anything from them in return.
Oh, my brother, my dear brother. Perhaps we have not thought as kindly of each other as we should have done.
Well, I have tried.
Well, let us try again, both of us.
Try again?
Mm.
Me, start anew, near 70? No, Mary, I fear not. Anyway, all this makes no difference to the girls. As long as I am here, they shall have the small house. If they marry, I will do what I can for them. But I cannot begin again.
You don't want me to marry him, do you, Mama?
No, my dear.
Uncle has no right to interfere. He has no right even to an opinion. Belle shall marry him whoever she wishes.
And Lily likewise, as long as you approve the choice, Mama.
You approve of a certain doctor whose name Belle forbids me to mention, don't you, Mama?
Dearest Lily! Dearest Belle!
Uncle thinks he has the right to interfere because of the help he gives us, because of the house.
Oh, yes. So, perhaps we should leave the house.
Mama?
I agree. We should leave, as soon as possible.
It is easier said than done.
Of course, Mama, but let us take some necessary first step now. Clearly, Uncle Christopher is of the opinion that in remaining here, in accepting his generosity, we ought to submit to him. But we have no wish to submit. Therefore, we must go.
Well, could we not stay and pay him rent?
No, Lily. This place is too big. I mean, even if we paid a moderate rent, we still wouldn't have the means of living here.
Well, not even if we lived on toast and tea.
I don't believe Uncle would take rent from us. But assuming he did, there would still be all the other arrangements, care of the garden and so on. No, I think we must give up the dear old house.
Yes, it is a dear old house. Oh, I'm not at all sure it would be right for us to move.
It would, Mama.
Of course it would.
Oh, but we're so comfortable here. We have so many advantages.
At some personal cost, Mama. And it's a cost we're not prepared to pay. So, have we decided?
I think we have. When will you tell him, Mama?
I shall brazen it out. It's the only way. Heavens, I have said enough times I did wrong. And it hardly does much for my prestige. Nor, for that matter, does being the victim of an attack at Paddington Station. But no good can come from turning on young John Eames. I'll let him be. But others had better watch themselves. I shall go to the club, and if anyone there shows me any slight, I'll not be slow in answering. Similarly, here, if some clerk is disrespectful... Damn it, I didn't gain a position before the world only to be crushed for one small error of judgment. I'll fight. I'll fight the members of the board if necessary. The board. I scorn every member of it. Not least Butterwell, that incompetent, vapid creature. I was his friend. I helped him to do his job, and now it seems he wants to disown me. Too late. I have already disowned him. Then there are the De Courcys. Well, I am not their humble servant, and I shall tell them so. I shall speak my mind. And if Lady Alexandrina, for example, doesn't like what I say and chooses as a result to end our alliance, let her. My heart will stay quite unbroken. And perhaps if that were to happen, who knows? I might go back to Lily, ask for her pardon.
Sir?
Come.
Mr. Mortimer Gazebee to see you, sir.
No, oh, bring him in.
Mr. Gazebee.
Crosby.
This is a very nasty affair.
The attack on me? Mm. Yes, so nasty, I don't want to talk about it. How are you?
I am well.
Good. And your dear wife?
The Lady Emily is quite unhappy about the incident at the station.
So am I, Gazaby.
She fears you have been a good deal hurt.
Oh, as regards physical damage, I have been temporarily disfigured, merely.
She thinks, in consequence of the injury, that you'd be more comfortable if you stayed with us this evening.
Thank you, but no.
Why not?
I think I'd be better at home.
That's absurd.
No, it's not. I'll sit in a chair with a beefsteak clapped to my eye.
The Lady Emily would be able to provide a beefsteak.
Gazaby, I am sure she will, but I want to be at home.
It would be advantageous if you came round to see us.
Oh, would it?
Yes. You could talk to the Lady Emily, explain what has happened, and then she can write to her mother. Well, otherwise, you see, all manner of stories about you will reach Courcy Castle.
Gazaby, I don't care what stories find their way to the castle.
Well, you should. You are part of the de Courcy family now, as
oh,
I am.
Oh, Gazaby!
Your conduct reflects on us all.
Look, I shall write to Alexandrina with a full account of the affair, and you can tell her sister so.
Mm. Oh, very well. I thought that as I was coming round...
What's this?
The life insurance policy.
Oh, where do I sign?
Leave the house. Leave it. I cannot believe you're in earnest.
We are in earnest, Mr. Dale.
Are you not comfortable there?
We are. More so than we have the right to be with our means.
Then why on earth are you going?
Oh, Mr. Dale, if you would accept our intention as a fact and not ask the reason...
Forgive me, Mary, but in a matter such as this, you must state your reason, and I trust that it is a strong one.
Well, then... It relates to our conversation of yesterday. The truth is this. You think that my children owe to you that sort of obedience which is due to a parent.
I have never said so.
No, you have never said so. Nor am I making a complaint. Although you have never expressed the thought, we feel that it is so. And that as long as the girls remain here, accepting from your hand so large a part of their daily support, it is only natural that you should regard yourself as having the right to exercise some influence over them. As, for example, in this unhappy business with Belle. And so, Mr. Dale, we have made up our minds.
Absurd. Absurd!
And you think it may be Scarlatina?
Oh, I fear it is. You see, Jane, our maid, was ill a week back and was sent home. And we have since heard that she has the fever... So when Lily became unwell...
Yes.
Oh, she has tried to pretend that it was nothing, but this morning conceded that you should be called. Lily? Lily, it's Dr. Crofts, my dear.
Good morning, Lily.
Morning, Dr. Crofts. I'm so sorry that you had to come.
Well, treating the sick happens to be my job, so there's no need to apologise. How long have you been unwell?
Since yesterday evening.
Feverish?
A little. During the night.
Oh, in truth, Doctor, she's not been herself for some while now.
Lean forward, would you, Lily? Thank you. And now, please, a look at your tongue. Very well. Yes, I think it may well be Scarlatina.
Oh, no.
You have a rash on your neck, Lily, and your tongue is very red. Typical signs. But listen, everything is in your favour. The cold weather, your general condition prior to this, the fact that your mother sent for me reasonably soon. So believe me, there is no cause for alarm.
I've tried to love Alexandrina. I've tried to tell myself I love her, tried to tell her. Oh, it isn't easy. She seems to find expressions of endearment as offensive as others would find abuse. If I could get her away from the family, from Lady Emily and Gazaby in particular, I might be able to teach her things. Teach her not to observe the strictest household economies in order to spend money on outward show. Teach her to forsake the carriage that has been got up to look as though it were privately owned, and to sit triumphantly in a street cab.
Teach her to love me. Teach her all this. Impossible. She is already too well trained the other way. She is already too old.
I was at Courcy Castle yesterday.
Oh, yes.
On business.
My business, Gatsby?
No, not specifically, though marriage matters were mentioned. One thing you'll be interested to know, Lady de Courcy maintains that it is becoming increasingly fashionable practice nowadays for the various bills incurred in the purchase of the bridal trousseau to be handled on the bridegroom's side.
What?
I myself expressed some doubt as to whether you'd find this idea altogether to your liking, even though it may be a la mode.
The audacity, the sheer brazenness of these people. Every shilling, every penny of mine, thanks to your zealous efforts, Gatsby, is now tied up in favour of Alexandrina's anticipated widowhood. I am borrowing vast sums in order to furnish the home, and now I'm being expected to stump up for the bride's outfits.
I'll do what I can to obstruct the arrangement.
Yes, please, Gatsby.
I do sympathize with the Countess. She is finding herself a little constrained.
She is.
I'm afraid that Lord de Courcy doesn't want this wedding to cost him.
No, and I didn't particularly want it to cost me. Why do you do it, Gatsby? How do you do it? From what source do you mine all this selfless devotion to the de Courcys?
I am married to the Lady Emily. I have a sense of obligation, therefore, as you will have.
I wouldn't depend on it. But your work as attorney on their behalf, all your fussing and fretting, for instance, over the settlement, my life insurance. I mean, I take it you're not financially rewarded. If they won't pay for Alexandrina's hats, they're hardly likely to manage legal fees.
The work has its own reward.
Oh, Gatsby.
The de Courcys are a great and noble family, Crosby, and we are men of privilege, you and I, to be linked to them.
Seems to me the advantage is all theirs.
Are we getting out here?
Yes, we're meeting them in Haldane's, helping to choose a few carpets.
Ah!
I think I'll send the bill to the Countess.
No, Ali, it won't do.
You don't think so?
Good morning, ladies.
Good morning, Mortimer, the dolphins.
Morning, Emily. Morning, Alexandrina.
Good morning. Why won't it do, Emmy?
The green in the scroll work. It would run if any hot water was spilled.
If your ladyship would permit me, that particular green doesn't run.
What about this one?
Yes.
How are you this morning, Alexandrina?
Quite well, thank you. I very much liked the other.
No, not with the green in the scroll work.
Now that's rather nice.
You think so? Yellow shows the dirt.
My lady, it's a superb carpet. We put down 450 yards at Cuthcullough Castle only last month.
Oh, for the Duchess of South Wales. Yes. Adolphus, before I forget, Mama wondered if you would go to Lambert's for her, on Ludgate Hill. They have a bracelet of hers to be collected.
A bracelet, I see. I will, if I happen to be that way.
Well, won't be long now, Crosby, till the two of you are moving into your new home. I think you chose well.
The house, you mean? I fear it's too small. My dressing room appears to be a cupboard under the stairs. But I can't have expected a larger dwelling when my entire savings are being invested in my death.
Of course, Lady Emily would have liked you to have chosen St. John's Wood.
Couldn't live there, couldn't endure it. Nice to visit. Being with you and Lady Emily is a perfect pleasure, but for myself, I couldn't live there. I actually would have preferred Pimlico.
Pimlico? That would have been a very long way from us.
Yes. Almost persuaded Alexandrina, she thought for a while, that it was verging on Belgravia.
Do you like it, Adolphus?
Sorry?
This one?
I'm not keen on the yellow. And the red bits are, well, rather too red. Something brown with a small pattern would be better, but I don't much care.
Of course he doesn't. I'd have it, Ali, provided they give you 5%.
Well, then, I'll be back tomorrow morning.
You're very kind. And yet I wish you would not come so often.
I've come as often as I thought it was necessary.
But you take no fee, and as a result you are overloading us with obligations. On Sunday you stayed the whole night.
Yes. Well, it will not be necessary much longer. The worst is over.
We owe Lily's life to you.
Oh, no. Scarlatina is not such a terrible thing as it was.
Lily was ill enough for you to devote much of your time to her, and for you to try and order me out of the house.
Ah, yes. Now, I did waste my efforts there.
You did. I'm afraid if I'd been sent away, I would only have come walking back as soon as I arrived.